also to the National Commission of Delegation, also welcome to civil society, media and also interested parties. Welcome to the Portfolio Committee on Police. Thank you members for also attending. We know the move from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock may be affected some of the members, but we're very glad to continue. Members, just maybe a few administrative matters, just to indicate we will tomorrow circulate an updated program for the committee to take into consideration the two bills that we need to deal with, but also ensuring that we deal with also other oversight work. So that will be distributed tomorrow. Then members, of course, we're going to, Parliament's program might change, I think, next week, but I mean, we're destined to deal also with broad discussions on Tuesday and Wednesday in terms of the Critical Infrastructure Protection Bill. So we really call on the various parties and individuals to work over the weekend, look at the various input and come with proposals that we try on Tuesday at least to reach maximum consensus on the non-contentious issues, and then maybe on Wednesday deal with the more contentious issues. But as members will see in the program, we're also going to utilize the two weeks committee work slot in the end of March for finalization of the bill. So there will be enough time for members in terms of that. Members, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourselves, then I'll ask the National Commissioner to introduce his team. I just want to also refer to one or three things in the public domain, and then we'll start with our program. Members, remember that last time the National Commissioner was at Lekgotla, so we asked that he maybe also again focus on the strategic direction. I saw yesterday his comments in the Western Cape on where he wants to take policing, and I actually agree with what he said yesterday, all the points, so I think it's quite good. Then we want to also focus on the issue of senior appointments, the issues that's raised in the NDP, and then maybe also that the National Commissioner can indicate in terms of the structure, because I think too heavy structure is a risk for effectiveness, and maybe the National Commissioner can deal with that, and then we can discuss that. Then also the issue of the basic literacy audit, the issue where that was raised last time, that we can just get an update on where we are. Then the fourth item is the issue of Harrison policy. We received, I think, in the previous week or two, those letters, and I've received another letter, so I think it's an important issue that SAPS must deal with. Then we also have an update on the firearms amnesty, and also then the issue of Northern Cape overtime protectors. So members, that is really the issues that we want to deal with today effectively, so thank you very much. I'm going to ask then the honourable members to introduce themselves.
Dumelang bagaetsho, leina la ka ke nna Angie Molebatsi, ke leloko la committee e, mme ke a lo leboga.
Yeah, what she said, and I'm Diane Colobar, not a member.
Dumasiara batho bothe, le mabija lebohane, le morado wa committee ya xipolisa, le leboga.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, Minister and Commissioner. My name is A.M. Sheikh Imam, member of this committee. My name is Philip Mshango, a member of the committee. Thank you.
Ngiyabonga Sihlalo. Sanibonani igama uzakhele Mpele, ilunga lekomiti.
Honourable members, we also want to welcome the Honourable Minister of Police, Honourable Fikile Mbalula MP. It's good to see him, and he's also very much welcome. I'm going to ask then the National Commissioner to introduce his delegation.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, my Honourable Minister, Honourable Members. Chair, our delegation for today is as follows. I will just call their name. They will rise so that the honorable members can see them. The first one next to me is the Deputy National Commissioner for Management Advisory Services, Lieutenant General Vuma. Thank you. Second one is Lieutenant General P.C. Ngwenya, DNC for HR. Next one, Lieutenant General S.F. Masemula, DNC Policing. Next one, Lieutenant General Skete, DNC for Asset Indica. Next one, Lieutenant General Tsumane, DNC for Crime Detection. Next one, Lieutenant General S.C. Mfazi, DNC for Management Intervention. Next one, Lieutenant General Nzia, Divisional Commissioner for Personnel Management. Next one, Lieutenant General N.P. Masia, Divisional Commissioner for Visual Policy. Next one, Major General M.O. Mutane, Acting Head Protection Services. Next one, Major General L. Ravi, Component Head Strategic Management. Next one, Brigadier L.S. Malahlela, Section Head Executive Secretariat. Next one, Brigadier V. Naidu, Corporate Communication. Next one, Colonel A. Matebula, Staff Officer, National Commissioner. The last one is Colonel K.P. Stain, Parliamentary Liaison, Strategic Management. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much for that, National Commissioner. We will also give the Minister opportunity at any time if he wants to also address issues that is on the in the public domain is very much welcome. Members, just maybe before we start, just to note a few things. I think we've noted the tragic killing of a warrant officer at the Lebubu police station who was attacked at his home and killed in front of his wife and four children. It's absolutely unacceptable, tragic, that the police officer who's serving the country is killed in such a way. So from the Portfolio Committee side, we want to really send our sympathies and condolences to the South African Police Service, but specifically also to that officer and his family and the community of Lebubu. It just shows us that week after week we see these incidents, and I think the National Commissioner yesterday in the Western Cape also referred to that, the issue of priority, dealing with the issue of the killing of members, and we really, it's really a tragedy that that is not good for our country. The second issue as well, in the public domain, I think we also referred to that last time. We have noted the active work of the DPCI. I see General Matakata is also here. They've been active today, high-profile arrests, and also looking at corruption in government, private sector, and we welcome that from the committee's perspective. It's quite critical that the DPCI, who is responsible for systemic corruption investigations, also commercial crime, that they fulfill their duty fully, and we welcome that. It must also show, send a signal to anybody that wants to attack the state from a criminal enterprise perspective, that the South African Police Service won't rest. And from the Portfolio Committee side, it's welcomed. And they must continue with the work. And from the Portfolio Committee, Minister, you will have the support of this committee with South African Police Service doing their job effectively. So we welcome that as well. I also give an opportunity to members if they just want to comment on those opening remarks and then the Minister, and then we can continue with the presentations. Honourable Molabatsi, and then I'll go to the others, yes. Right, I saw Honourable Mbele.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, I'd certainly like to echo your sentiments concerning the killing of the SAPS member. It's always a tragic incident when we lose a service member, both in terms of the human tragedy for the family and for their colleagues, but also how it compromises the integrity and effectiveness of the police service, which is not in the best shape. So we hardly need any worse indicators in that regard. Also welcoming very much the operations of the Hawks beginning this morning, perhaps quite a long time overdue, but good to see the wheels of justice starting to turn, given long-standing pressure for movement and accountability in that vein. Also then to make the point that the key issue is to have comprehensive accountability and to ensure that we don't simply have selective justice being applied. The acting Hawkshead will be aware that members of the Democratic Alliance have laid charges against several both officials and political office bearers relating to allegations of corruption and state capture. And so we'd hope that the Hawks pursue all of those charges as vigorously, even if it cuts close to the political bone, because the law enforcement sector has been beholden to political biases and selectivity for far too long. We now just need to see them do their work properly, and whoever's in the crosshairs, whatever political considerations might be at play, those are to be put aside, and we see the rule of law prevail. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Imam Sheikh.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also echo my sentiments in terms of the killing of a police officer. Chair, I think we've discussed this on many occasions. Especially when a police officer is killed, you hear very little about it. But when a police officer kills a civilian, there's so much of hoobaloo about it in the media and everything. But it comes back to one very important point. What is SAPS and we as government going to do to protect our people, our officers in blue that are going out there to protect our citizens? So something has to happen to give them added protection compared to what they're having. Let me also add, Chair, that in the last couple of weeks, there appears to be a very positive attitude in SAPS, and I think that is evident if you can see it very, very clearly with the arrests that have been making, some major arrests in the drug field, in terms of Hawks. So I think we can see now very, very clearly that maybe after a very long time that we seem to be moving in the right direction. And I know the minister has also commented that he is now... There's a special investigation into the murder of Senzo Meiwe, and there's been a lot of cry from the family that not enough is being done to do that. So in a nutshell, I want to say, Chair, that I think SAPS is moving in the right direction. I think they are making some positive impact in the communities today, and if they go on that way, coupled with what happened in the festive season where crime rate was down, I think it augurs well for the future of the country. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Kota Barnard.
Thank you, Chair. I would ask that when we quite rightly make reference to SAPS members who've been killed in the line of duty, that we don't forget our Metro Police officers. We've had in the last few months two women run over and killed at a roadblock, another one killed 2 months later, and last night, or this morning, I suppose, Johannesburg Metro police officer, 3 shots in the head. He's still in ICU. So I think while we must, of course, pay tribute to the members of the SAPS, we must not forget the Metro police. Their lives are, frankly, in equal danger these days. It used to be simply a traffic job, now it is a life or death job, as it is with our SAPS members. Thank you.
Honourable Mshlungu, are you covered? You're covered.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I just want to congratulate the Hawks for the manner in which they responded to corruption this in the early hours of today, and to say we are very proud of them and wish them luck to do more, and to say to the people who do all this corruption, that there's no place to hide. The Hawks are no more running up there. They are now here. They are coming for them. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, members. We will now give an opportunity to the Honourable Minister. Maybe just some issues in the public domain he wants to address. He's very welcome.
No, thank you, Chair, and the members of the committee and police generals present here, led by the National Commissioner of Police. My being here, it is not my day. It is just to thank the committee for giving us an opportunity last time when the general was supposed to come, couldn't come precisely because we had the cabinet lekhutla. But part of our coherent plan of working is that we wanted, coming from that, and the police strat plan to appear before the committee with a total, you know, understanding of things. And that was duly granted, so it was not a defiance. And I think it's for the first time that General Sithole and his team, as a new national commissioner, appears before this committee, which I think it is significant. If you know that for many years and months we've been here and without a permanent commissioner. But I also want to thank the committee for the support of his appointment that has been expressed by members and political parties, that they understand the mammoth of task of fighting crime in this country. And in doing so, it does not mean that he will be treated with kid gloves. He has pronounced on the turnaround strategy, which already is finding expression in terms of hitting the ground running. I'm quite enthused, but I never come to a conclusion that we have arrived. The task is daunting, and we're working very hard. There are cases that are in the public domain that people have expressed their displeasure in how they've been handled. And like I said the other day, the question before us is not to argue with the public when they say we're not doing the work. It is our actions that will define our commitment and our answers to what the public is raising as a criticism against the police. And I've secondly emphasized the issue of not coexisting with crime. We cannot look at things like drug dens, which we must close down, working with municipalities, which lead to Kagiso coming down in flames, Manguzi in KwaZulu-Natal, which we still have to go back. We need to basically clamp down on criminality in the country, and I think the police force is very important in that work. And they will earn their stripes out of practical work and the concrete expression of vital, you know, work that is registered from the side of work of the police. My last point is I want to also join members to say that police must do their work without fear or favor and stamp the authority of the state. And that's what is happening now going forward. May God bless them and bless our great country, and let many ideas bloom, and let's do our work. And it's always good to appear before the committee. For my part, personally, I would like to come to the committee because I'm always accused that I'm never available by the honorable member of the EFF there. My dear brother and comrade, so I want to make time, Chair, to come and raise issues that we will engage with the portfolio committee that are pertinent. But thank you for the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you for your attendance. We appreciate it. Right, let's go then to today's business. Over to the National Commissioner, General Sithole, on the strategic direction. Thank you, General.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Minister, and Honourable Members. Chair, I think firstly we have a two-fold approach that we have designed. Previously, the turnaround strategy has been presented, but I'm sure in its presentation maybe it might not have been very clear because it's high level that was presented, and the interest of the committee might have been to know more how do we tie action to time frame. We've got another document which we, if the committee agrees, that we can present so that it just talk to those particular action. But I first wanted just to give a proper description and approach of the turnaround. It's not an intention, it's a dream statement of intent in action. So part of the things that are outlined in the deliverable description, they are in action already. And the turnaround also has adopted, firstly, an immediate, which is the quick win approach, then the medium and long-term approach. So there's immediate issues. And the turnaround is not totally changing. The strategic approach in the organization is adding on what is existing. And what was brought to the committee during the reign of the acting national commissioner was back to basics. So back to basics has not been thrown away. It's part of the turnaround vision. The turnaround vision is informed from the premise of saying, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I think sometimes it is a sign of craziness. So the turnaround vision is adapted to the criminal modus operandi. As the criminal changes, we always take a step ahead and we respond to that. Then it's also intended to respond directly to what are the challenges that has been identified by government. The one example I want to give, when I was in cabinet, Lekhutla, I picked up that one of the strategic challenges facing government is illicit economy. And what we are responding to within the SARS is illicit mining, which is one dimension. But in terms of the turnaround, we're looking at a framework that focuses on illicit economy so that there can be economic growth in the country. And further to that, we have been creating a safe and secure environment, which is SAP's vision. But in terms of the turnaround vision, we are aligning and realigning the creation of a safe and secure environment to economic growth as well as social stability. And we're picking this from the preamble of the National Crime Prevention Strategy, which was outlined by President Mandela during the promulgation of the National Crime Prevention Strategy. We still have the strategic plan. We still have the operational plan, which is the AOP, and as well as the APP, which is the intervention we are counting with to the portfolio committee. What is outlined in terms of the turnaround, we are linking the review of the strategic plan to the rolling process of the AOP as well as the APP, so that we can then pick up the priorities that are lying in the strategic plan, whether they have been addressed. One example of those is the resource requirement for policy and legislative implementation, because those are long-term, priorities. If you factor them in the strategic plan, then the turnaround would suggest, let us pick up the extent to which this particular policy and legislation has been operationalized. We've got one example that we're citing, the Child Justice Act. We, the police, we've done everything. But as we continue now to divert, that is children, social development is not ready with diversion facilities. So the turnaround is realigning the execution of policies and legislation to all role players and other disciplines, so that let us work together and do the preparation. What we are enriching directly with the turnaround is the AOP, the annual operational plan, simply because not everything that is brought by the turnaround by now is part of the indicator framework of the APP. Our intention is to enrich the AOP and start working towards escalating those priorities and deliverables to the APP. Why we wouldn't do that immediately? With the APP, we are following the resource-based target setting. We must first realign and talk to to this. Once we have linked the resource part to the target-based setting, then we're going to link it to the indicators in the APP. But there are those activities which are already measured, which find space in the existing indicators in the APP. Those, we take them directly to the APP because they are there to enhance what we're doing at the present moment. With your then permission, Chair, I will allow General Rabi to just move us first through, and then I will qualify some of those. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. No, I think it's important clarification, I think, that you've set out now. The linkage will be over time, and we understand that. That's fine. Let's continue. Thank you.
Honourable Chair and members of the committee, good morning. Used to the 9 o'clock meetings. Good afternoon, members. The National Commissioner requested that we do a presentation and take you through some of the issues that we've identified, and with specific emphasis, Chair, on the previous request by the committee that we look at concrete deliverables and things that we are currently working on and what we are in the process of implementing. The National Commissioner highlighted his strategic direction in terms and of the vision that he's got, and we also in the previous meeting referred to the theme where we are adopting the theme of the National Development Plan in a journey or on a journey to a safer South Africa, and then also to create a safe and secure environment for all people in South Africa. That is the SAPS's vision, and then the turnaround vision that the National Commissioner is implementing. And as he explained, that the although a lot of efforts have been implemented to address the situation of creating a safe and secure environment, we are not yet at the situation where we have social and economic stability that will support a better life for all. And in the slogan, as we also presented, that we adopted, that is patriotic and selfless service. The strategic policing approach itself, Chair, this was previously presented. I'm just going to briefly refer to the elements of the approach that has been adopted that refers to, you know, day-to-day conventional policing, that we must sustain that in the efforts to curb crime, but at the same time that we must implement an approach of innovative policing where, as we indicated, that SAPS needs to grow and SAPS need to evolve the methodology.
Point of interruption, Chairperson. We do not have the document. I was just listening. What we have here is not what is being presented. So let's get the way forward.
Remember, Honourable Member, yes, now we take note, but remember the National Commissioner asked whether he can present it, and we agreed. I mean, we will ensure that you will get a copy, but remember it's a continuation of our discussion that we had last time. There was certain issues that members raised, but I think we will ask Mr. Lobby to ensure that members get a copy. Thank you, Member, for raising that. Thank you, Honourable Mabija. Thank you. You can continue, General.
Chair, thank you. As I indicated, these are the three elements that the approach focuses on, and I think that also the National Commissioner highlighted, and it was presented in more detail in the previous presentation. Now, Honourable Chair, what the National Commissioner is trying to achieve is basically six critical factors. And first of all is to set the tone for the future. I mean, as the newly appointed National Commissioner, he needs to set direction and determine where exactly are we going as far as policing is concerned, and what will be the strategic direction of the South African Police Service, what exactly are we going to focus, and exactly what we want to achieve. It is also important that he sets the tone in terms of responding to the policing demand. It is it's the responsibility of the South African Police Service to take note of what is happening in the country and then to decide how exactly are we going to respond to that. Also clarifying the role of the South African Police Service. As he stated in his statements, is that we need to realize that the South African Police Service has got a much broader role to play than what we think. It is not about policing, it's about contributing to much more. Addressing all the outcomes of the National Development Plan, as we previously indicating, each element the South African Police Service has a specific contribution to make. Then as internally focused, as far as the South African Police Service is concerned, within the different business units of SAPS, we need to understand exactly what needs to be achieved. And the National Commissioner is setting down specific deliverables that needs to be achieved over the short term that I'm going to touch on. And the intention is to focus our energy on achieving that, and the ultimate goal is then that we achieve not only synergy in the organization, but we do realize for us to do policing effectively, we need to get all stakeholders on board. We need to have interdepartmental collaboration, and we need to, as I said, synergize all the efforts that we implement in SAPS. Very important is the roles and responsibilities of management. When everything is dedicated or everything is allocated to specific managers within SAPS, that we understand what needs to be achieved, and what he does then is based on that he sets the performance standards for SAPS and the indicator that we will be strictly measured on achieving the outcomes that is identified that will be presented in the later slides. The National Commissioner referred to the implementation framework and the different documents that we have. Now, first of all, there's a strategic plan in SAPS. The General indicated that we are moving into the last year of the current medium-term strategic framework. And this will inform initiating the process within the next couple of months, developing the strategic plan of SAPS for the next finance or for the next MTSF. We have to take into consideration the strategic direction of NASCOM and the specific priorities that he has identified. Now, the strategic plan is implemented by means of the annual operational plan, where we highlight the specific performance deliverables that the SAPS is going to be measured on. And critically, then lower or on the level below that, you have annual operational plans that lies within the different business units. Now, General Sithole indicated to you that the deliverables that he's currently identifying and the priorities will be addressed in terms of the annual operational plans of the respective business units. Some of the deliverables will find its way into the annual operational plans, and some of that will find its way into the annual performance plan. And as he rightfully indicated, is that this is over the medium term. It will be phased in over the medium term, and it will be measured accordingly. And then we have the performance agreements that lies at the individual level, where responsibility is being assigned to the respective managers within the different business units, and they will then be measured against those specific deliverables. Now, critically I think by now, Honourable Chair, it's obvious that the National Commission's turnaround vision is clearly influenced by the regulatory requirements. I mean, he's focused on the achievement of the National Development Plan's vision. He focuses on the role of the South African Police Service, realizing that we have a very important role to play, but it's not only about the matter of policing. It's much broader than that. It talks to interdepartmental collaboration. It talks to the involvement of or getting stakeholders involved and ultimately creating that environment where the economy and social security or social stability can then thrive. So those matters, as I indicated, they all have got an influence, and the National Commissioner during the process, he indicates what exactly is expected in terms of the different levels of governance and accountability when we look at, for instance, the planning documents that we use as well as the performance agreement. Getting to the important part, Honourable Chair, and responding to the questions that were previously raised, what exactly are we going to do within the medium to the short term? Now, what I'm going to present next, the majority of the outcomes that we will present now has already been initiated. They are already in process. We are currently in the last quarter of the current financial year. That means that this will flow into the new financial year, and obviously it will then become part of our commitments in the next financial year and what we also need to report on. What we intend doing, Honourable Chair, is it's not, you raised the question about what needs to be incorporated into the APP. Now, National Commission indicated that although all of this will not necessarily find its way currently into the annual performance table, our intention is to brief the committee on a regular basis on the progress that we are making as far as these deliverables are concerned. Now, within the stamping the authority of state, there are six dimensions that we need to address. Now, the first one talks to the combating of crime in identified high crime hotspots and so-called no-go areas. Now, we have already initiated the process where these areas need to be identified, starting with the top 30 stations that we have been monitoring over the last couple of years. And the intention is that within each one of the provinces, they need to identify high crime hotspot areas, and then that needs to be followed by the development of appropriate stabilization and normalization plans. So they need to indicate to us exactly what needs to happen, and for that purpose, they're going to be allowed a period of 3 to 6 months to stabilize the situation in those identified areas. The initial focus is to try and achieve it this within 3 months, but if needs be, that can be extended to 6 months. And then following the 3 to 6 months, within a 12-month period, the intention is then to normalize the situation. And with stabilization, there's a specific definition associated with that. There's a specific definition associated with normalization. And stabilization talks to, in very simple terms, is to bring your crime levels down to, they will never be an acceptable level, but to get your crime levels down to a certain level where we can now say that we've stabilized the situation, and then implement actions to normalize it over a period of time. So you will also note that in the third block that I'm going to get to now, we are talking to the Fiela operation. Now, Fiela operations is an integral part of this, because the Fiela operations that we are currently launching is part of our efforts to stabilize your crime situation in identified hotspots areas. Now, when we talk about the first deliverable, the intention is not now to intervene in a specific area and then you withdraw and the situation go back. We need to implement actions to ensure, after we've gone through the 12-month period to normalize the situation in a specific area, that we focus on sustainable basic policing. That means you have to empower and enable the local police station to continue with your conventional policing and not let the situation deteriorate again. One of the key deliverables in this environment or this specific focus area is also the firearm strategy that needs to be developed and implemented that will specifically focus on the issue of the proliferation of firearms. The second issue talks to the operational command center concept that was previously presented to the committee. It was piloted in 3 provinces already. We are currently busy with a pilot where in one province, the Eastern Cape, they're dealing with it at cluster level. And then we have 2 other provinces where they look at the concept at provincial level, and another province where they're looking at the concept at local level. Our intention is, Honorable Chair, to roll out this to all 9 provinces over a period of time. Now, it's quite an extensive exercise, and we need to be careful what we commit to. But what we say currently want to commit to is within the first 3 months of the next financial year, we have 4 provinces that we want to implement the operational command center concept at provincial level, followed within the semester, by the end of the semester, by September, by another 4 provinces, and that will then leave us with a situation where the operational command center concept at provincial level is then implemented in all 9 provinces. Then we're going to target 9 clusters per quarter. That will give us 36 clusters in the country that we want to implement in the next financial year. 8 stations per quarter, 32, that we want to implement over the same period of time. And so those are the numeric targets as far as where we want to roll it out to in the next coming financial year. But what is also critical at the same time, we need to develop a resource matrix and technology requirements for the OCC concept. Exactly what is required to implement the concept successfully and what we currently have available to resource the concept. Then as far as Fiela is concerned, I think the members are aware of the fact that this operation has already been initiated, and the current target is to have these operations 2 per province and 2 per cluster per week continuously as we go along. And as we indicated, this is already generating successes as far as Operation Fiela is concerned. I want to believe that we will then soon present the results of Operation Fiela to the committee. We would also then look at the establishment through the Operation Fiela concept, where we establish proper interdepartmental and stakeholder collaboration. That is what it's all about. It's an interdepartmental approach, where we use the available the respective environments or departments that got a role to play. They are actively involved in the operation itself. The priorities that has been identified by the National Commissioner is specifically your illegally occupied unused buildings and unsafe public spaces. Each one of the provinces, all nine provinces, have been tasked to now go and identify these specific problematic areas in each one of the provinces. We will also, one of the matters that came to the fore now that we are also going to attend is the matter of copyright and intellectual property rights that needs to be protected, that we are also now considering bringing into the Fiela concept. And then once that is known, the intention is that within the provinces a multidisciplinary approach be initiated to address these illegally occupied buildings and unused buildings as well as the unsafe spaces. And that will ultimately include the safer city concept that was also introduced by the National Commissioner. Interesting remark in this regard is, for instance, the reintegration of youth. You will find that in much of these instances, the buildings are occupied by youth that are not properly integrated back into society once these buildings are secured, etc. So we must also see how, as the South African Police Service, in collaboration with other government departments, how exactly can that be achieved. So the development and implementation of an operational approach to address gangsterism, the anti-gangsterism strategy needs to be properly implemented. We are targeting two provinces for the stabilization and normalization approach, or a combating approach as far as gangsterism is concerned, and that is the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape. We are currently, the SAFS is already in process, and as I indicated, this is going to flow into the new financial year. Three other provinces, namely Gauteng, Northwest, and Free State, have been identified as potential problems where the gangsterism matter might escalate over time. So the focus is, there's a slightly different focus in those provinces where we are looking at the prevention of gangster-related activities. But in Western Cape and Eastern Cape, it's a fully-fledged combating strategy. The operational capacity of public order policing, the medium term, we are currently reviewing the integrated medium term implementation plan for the public order policing. Now,
sorry, General, just on that middle slide, I mean, what's new? From that slide, is it just a continuation? Or, I mean, in terms of what was previously presented to the committee.
So, are you referring to the middle block?
The middle slide, yeah. I'm just
wondering. Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I think in this particular slide, at the level of the strategic plan, we are actually reviewing the resource requirement because we lost touch with the priority, the flow of the priority right through. But the second thing again, the focus at the present moment is on the second Nyala generation. But at an international level, I think the Nyalas, they are manufactured by Dinel, which is a South African company. They are on the eighth generation, Nyala generation. And we're still procuring the second generation. Yeah. So that's another part of the review, so that we're getting updated and we not. But then again, we're realigning the resource planning moving forward. But the other than that, there isn't nothing much more new. I think we can actually skip the slide. Thank you.
Maybe when you come with your budget, we must still talk about this slide, especially the previous commitments that was made and undertakings. But, I mean, I think that's quite important that the procurement process and analysis, I mean, that's the big issue. I think with previous incumbents, also in your post, General, they also made certain commitments, and we're not making progress, so we will need to move on this one. Thank you.
I'm going to skip that one and then move to the implementation of the national security strategy. We are currently conducting a functional review of the crime combating forum to align it with the strategic vision of the national commissioner and to ensure that it also incorporates the functionality of the operational command centers and then also your collaboration with other stakeholders, that it's fully incorporated in terms of the principle. Certain priorities, strategies have been prioritized, and that talks to the public order policing strategy, the counterintelligence, anti-corruption, and illegal mining. those four have been prioritized. They have been tasked. They are currently in a process of development, and the intention is to, within the upcoming financial year, to implement those strategies. The mining crime combating forums and the non-ferrous metal committees needs to be fully functional in currently addressing that to make sure that they are fully functional in support of the issues that has been identified. Then research needs to be conducted, Honourable Chair, with reference to what General Sithole said earlier about the illicit economical activities. Currently, SAPS is focusing primarily on illicit mining. But it is obvious, if you look at the government priorities, that there's more than that. And the National Commissioner has given the tasking that research be conducting to see what other portions of the illicit economy we need to address and what will be the appropriate policing approach as far as those ones are concerned. The drug master plan, the instruction was given, and they're currently in process of identifying all the drug hotspots in the country. And we have to review and operationalize the SAPS departmental drug plan. It is time for us, and we have to reconsider exactly what has been done and what still needs to be done. And then as far as the provincial and station capabilities are concerned, action plans needs to be implemented at local level, but it's very important that it needs to be linked to the local drug action plans of government or local government. It's not only about what the police is supposed to do, but we need to establish that link with the local level or local government. But the same applies to provincial level. Provinces has also got provincial drug master plans, and our provincial drug action plans must be linked. And although it will be informed by the SAPS departmental plan, it must be linked to the provincial drug master plans as well. And then important is to link the OCTA strategy to the identified drug syndicates, where it's obvious drugs is in most instances, your drug trade is dependent on the activities of syndicates, and we must appropriately respond to that. Enhanced police safety, it was mentioned earlier, Honourable Chair, the National Commissioner requested that we have conduct an immediately review of the police safety strategy and talking to our members' operational readiness, our resourcing of members with the appropriate equipment to ensure their safety, the matters of command and control, with specific reference to your parades, etc., making sure that when members are deployed, that they are properly equipped. And then also what is in the pipeline is the presentation of refresher courses with specific emphasis on streetwise training that needs to be provided to our members. So those are some of the key priorities that has currently been addressed and earmarked for implementation within the immediate future. Resources in terms of policing the criminal justice system, we need to do an impact of the criminal justice system investment on policing. A lot of money has been pumped into the South African Police Service through the criminal justice system funding that was made available. And the National Commission indicated it is time for us to determine exactly how did that impact on policing. The projects that has been prioritized for implementation now includes the Dismissed Appeals Project, the Bail Defense Strategy, the post-parole approach to enhance police participation in the parole processes, and then also interdepartment collaboration to optimize the reintegration of parolees and released offenders. The Integrated Crime Detection Framework, this talks to the crime detection environment, that we have a proper crime detection framework developed, and that must then be associated with a resource matrix for that integrated framework, indicating exactly the resource requirements to effectively capacitate our crime detection capability. Strategies that that has been prioritized includes the cold case strategy, the wanted suspect matrix that needs to be implemented. We have to conduct profile analysis at all our police stations, and then also case docket load reduction strategy. I mean, this has been mentioned several times in the committee about the number of dockets that the individual investigators are carrying, and we have to have proper national personnel docket ratios that needs to be implemented and associated with the strategy. The organized crime threat analysis strategy needs to be implemented. It's also in the process of currently being finalized. Nationally, we are in a process to identify the top 15 syndicates and then also develop the appropriate approach to that. And the provinces have then also been instructed within each one of the provinces to identify 5 top syndicates that needs to be addressed. While we are working towards, Honorable Chair, to the launch of the strategy itself, we have already initiated syndicate takedown operations within different provinces. And that is also already yielding results, but as is in anticipation for the official launch that is going to take place within the next couple of weeks. The National Provincial Organized Crime Secretariats needs to be properly operationalized at station level. The fully establishing of a crime information officer capability to make sure that we have that intelligence capability at station level properly capacitated. A coordinated multidisciplinary response needs to be implemented to the organizational crime threat, and that will be then reflected in the matrix that is referred to. And then a syndicate suspect matrix implemented where the detail of all the suspects or the detail associated with the identified suspects will be reflected. cybercrime strategy, the intention is to have it fully implemented soon and we're going into the financial year. And then also associated with that is a proper resource matrix that is linked to the cybercrime strategy. Chair, I want to assume that it's obvious that the cybercrime strategy is a very technical strategy, and when it talks to the capabilities that we must have within SAPS to address cybercrime, not only talking about human capabilities, but also the infrastructure as well as the technology to assist with that. And in link strategy, it is very important that the strategy that is being implemented by the South African Police Service now needs to be integrated or linked to the Integrated Cybercrime Center that has been initiated by the State Security Agency. The effective technological response, we're going to conduct a review of the technological requirements for policing to address policing demands and the modus operandi advancement. We previously mentioned, Honorable Chair, that it's obvious that the criminal activities and crime is evolving. It is important that SAPS need to evolve at the same pace. Now, the National Commissioner has instructed each one of the 9 provinces to conduct a technological requirement assessment in the respective provinces at the current moment. And they must, before the end of the financial year, submit the requirements as it is stated to TMS, and then the TMS component within SAPS has now been tasked to compile a SAPS technological requirement specification that will reflect the total requirement as far as your technological advancement is concerned. Modus operandi, modus operandi and root cause analysis center needs to be established or is going to be established at national level. And then within the OCC concept, we are going to have modus operandi and root cause analysis capability at the respective levels. Now, part of that will include a modus operandi database that needs to be implemented as supported by a root cause database. And then once that is done and the analysis has been conducted, the intention is to have a modus operandi counter strategy implemented. Now, within that strategy, that will include your modus operandi matrix and your root cause matrix.
Sorry, just maybe, General, can we just go back to that one slide on the technology?
Yes.
Because, I mean, that is your biggest risk factor. I mean, if you look at the billions that was spent, how many projects are unfinished, technology that's outdated. I mean, it's a huge risk. I just want to get a sense, and maybe in the responses, the evaluation of those technologies, will that be done in-house? Previously, I think, of the former incumbents indicated the role of the Research Council. Are you moving towards, like in the UK case of an ICT police company who's going to do it? During the responses, because that's going to be very important. I mean, technology is critical for you to move ahead, to make progress in terms of what the NDP is indicating. So if we can just maybe have an explanation on your management model for that, but also the technical evaluation. Otherwise, because I think previously a lot of the management input SAPS sit with hundreds of systems. They don't talk to each other, in various environments. But, I mean, how are we going to ensure that You've got systems that's working, but it's also technologically sound. I mean, you mentioned the 8th generation Niyala, and previously your colleagues promoted the 2nd generation one, or they're buying that. So, I mean, what are you going to do to get ahead and not being stifled by the same problems, buying technology that's outdated, billions of rand, and it doesn't add to the fight in crime? So that's an important factor. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Maybe I would just start from a internal and an honest position. Yeah, I asked the policing operatives, have you ever put forth your technology requirement for policing to the support side? I think how we have been determining the need for technology in the organization was not informed by the policing role players, the operatives. It was more based on the discretion of the support role players. And when it is so done, then it misses on the modus operandi. That is the first thing that I tried to correct. I called all the policing role players, the NCC, the National Crime Combating Forums, but I also called the support structures. I brought them all in one room. Then I said, let us discuss how do we create the policing demand and how do we deal with the response. I think we all agreed we had a gap there. And that's how we first missed out on technology. But secondly, the modus operandi analysis center that the general is relating to, I think is already in place. And the one question that we're asking is, what is the new technology-based modus operandi that has been introduced by the criminals? And is our system responding? Can they contend with it? Like, for instance, simple in cyber, the crime scene is in South Africa, the suspect is in Russia. The investigation capability is pure technology. At the present moment, we can't respond. Yeah, that is to that. And that's how we then create the demand. So, and also from a treasury's point of view, from a substance and from policing's point of view, we need to invest in technology. And then for a proper return, because if we invest in technology, I think we can save quite a lot. Like, I can give you an example. We do not necessarily have deep web and dark web capability. And deep web is live as we speak. And there is an attack to the country or to policy as we speak. We should have been knowing this morning what is new on the deep web so that we can fall down that particular modus operandi. Now the criminal underworld, by majority, they are there now on deep web. So our approach internally is to review the technological requirement so that the technological response talked to the challenges that we're experiencing. Now, with modus operandi advancement, we continuously do modus operandi analysis and research. If there's a new technology advancement by criminals, then we update, that is, our systems. I can also give you the example. I think what's coming in store is the black box modus operandi. Is applied to the ATMs, and then it replaces the ATM bombings. They just bore a small hole there. They put a chip. That chip gets into the black box, and it disorientates the ATM. It takes out all the money. So I think because it's an important modus operandi initiated in Israel, we need to be ready now in South Africa so that our technology responds to that, and we can fight it down before it comes. But the one obvious thing, Chair, we don't have the capability to assess, evaluate. We need to resort to those external service providers that has got the capability. And we're looking more at CSIR, DNEL, that is to assist us. But the part and parcel of our new discovery that I wanted us to change and have issued the instructions is the optimal utilization of our systems within the organization. I've discovered that we are not measuring. The current performance management system doesn't actually put us in a position to hold people accountable for optimal utilization of systems. But then my instruction on the spot was the immediate review of the performance management system so that we hold people accountable, and we account also on those millions that we invest that is in technology. And finally, Chair, I don't have good news about the systems. I think our systems are outdated. That is one. Two, our database is no longer protected. The security has expired. What we're dealing with now is intrusion in our system. But we are busy with it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no, I'll give members, because this is a very important, I think, immediate short-term impact. Then, I mean, the committee's got an interest. SAPs must be successful, and if you want to be successful, your technology environment must be up-to-date and working. Let's give Honourable Imam Sheikh and then Honourable Kolobana and then Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for that presentation there. But I know we seem to have gone on to the very sophisticated crime or criminals in terms of the technology we want to address. But, Commissioner, you were not here, I think, the last time when I spoke about a simple one right here, which is failing SAPs. And I'm going to give you that example again. A criminal went in, held up people, stole a vehicle. 13 months later, by chance, he was caught. Then you find he was released in 48 hours without any being charged. Then what did you find? That this suspect in 1998 was sentenced to 8 years. Then the correctional services had no place for him and released him after 2 or 3 years. Then in 2001 he committed another offense and got another 8 years and continued, and there's about 5 charges against him. The suspect is unique in terms of age, in terms of appearance and everything. The area of committing these crimes are around the same vicinity, but your system could not pick up with all your officers that are investigating this, that there's an identicate of what was given to you in terms of by the complainants. You could not pick up until a whole lot of damage was done for the next 13 months, and by chance, that criminal got caught again. Now, what is the weakness in terms of the system? That's why I say when we're talking about technology, the simple things really right now is also giving you great difficulty that you are not able to track this criminal by virtue of what information you got from the complainant, the identicate, the modus operandi, and this person working in the same area continued. And let me go one step further. He drove this vehicle with police blue lights inside it. He drove it with the balaclavas. He had everything in there. So what is the weakness in terms of your technology that you can't pick up? A simple thing like this, that there should be, those suspects should be listed. And then your difficult, well, the other issue of your correctional services is something else. Thank you.
Thank you. I was actually just sort of raising on a two-finger. You made a comment right at the end there that our systems are being intruded on, whether you're saying criminals are actually hacking into your systems, I wasn't sure. But look, I have to agree. I mean, 12, 13 years ago, forever ago, we were hearing the systems don't speak to each other. You know, Home Affairs is up here, Enartis is over there, SAPS is up, there's nothing, but those billions were going to fix all that. They were going to pull all the systems together. You would be able to, if a police officer in KZN drove down to the Eastern Cape to hold up a bank, you would be able to identify his fingerprints immediately on the whole national system, and you would have the name and the numbers of his car, everything. I'm not seeing it happening. So I agree with the Chair. I think we need a full report on the implementation of those billions and what they've actually brought to the SAFs, and has it been frittered away, has it disappeared, has too much gone to justice, has enough gone to SAFs? We haven't had feedback on this in a very, very long time. So I agree absolutely the time has come. But my main one was when you said intruding on the system, are you being invaded? Are you being hacked?
We had TMS here last year, but I mean, we will, apart from that, I mean, in terms of the new vision, we will definitely have to have an update. Yes, on Mula?
Thank you, Chairperson. My worry is this thing of systems outdated, security expired. When did that security expire? And what are you having plans for? For fixing this security or what? Because how can you work with a system that has expired and the outdated system? When are you planning to improve those systems and what? And this thing of outsourcing to CSIR and DENEL, what are you going to do with that? Are you not planning to train members or to do what in the police, because this outsourcing is the one that making corruption, Chairperson, because they are paying the other companies. At the end of the day, the companies, they are doing nothing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, because I think the issue of, say for instance, the expiry of your security walls and IT, again it raises the issue of the risk policy, but also, and maybe later we're going to talk about it, the role of management intervention. I mean, you will have to convince again us whether it's necessary, the changes. A lot of generals around the country has got a different view, not maybe in this last few months since you took over, but whether it's adding value, you know. So I think that's structural issues. I think that's important that you address whether the detection is there in terms of risk, as well as the issue of ensuring that you early detect threats to the organization in terms of IT. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The response with regard to the suspect that our system could not take, I think firstly, the type of technology that we need in the police, it's that has got the ability to integrate and interface. And if then there's integration of our system completed, then we'll be able to pick this particular suspect. There's an instruction already from the criminal justice cluster that was given to ask the police to work on the integration of our system. And when I'm saying we are undertaking a review approach on the SAP's requirement for technology, the integration is actually top on of the agenda and is also followed by interfacing. This does not only talk to us within SAPs. This particular problem or challenge is escalated and it has surfaced in the cold case strategy, because we also still having sentenced prisoners who are out of jail. None of us, the role players, would pick them up. It's still, again, on the interfacing and the integration of system, because when the court deals with an appeal, the system do not link the process of the appeal back to the police, to correctional services, and all that. Hence, then we're sitting with this challenge. But we've addressed this now through the cold case strategy. And with the review, we are working on the integration. But presently, as we review the whole system technological that is processed within SAPS, then we are redefining the technology requirement that should help us to address policy, which must respond to all these dimensions. Of course, there's other element of command in that particular case that we need to address, but the technology part we need to address integration and interfacing, and that's our priority for now. The second question, Chair, Can I not say much, but just because it's a national security issue that I'm responding to, I can only say there's attempts by unknown intruders into our database. And I've already issued instructions, and there will be a formal report in future. And if the chair agrees, if I may not speak too much on it. Thank you. Then there's the question on DINEL and also CSIR. I only want to say within SAPS, we do not have the capability, a full capability. We do have a TMS component which help us to link up with relevant service providers that can give us technology. But when you determine a technology requirement for an organization, you need to go on an in-depth research. And it must be by those who are scientifically and technologically qualified to do it. So that is why we would then outsource DINEL and CSIR. But more specifically, DINEL is a sovereign company. It's we can rely also on DINEL because it's also part and parcel. It's linked to your state. So, but we're just trying to say we do not have full capability ourselves, and then that's where we link to those who can assist. But we then asking for the support of the committee in terms of us reviewing the technological requirement for policing so that we can respond to current criminal technology modus operandi. Thank you.
Thank you, General. Members, I know this may be follow-ups. Let's just take a five-minute break, 5 minutes, just to, for members and delegation to help themselves, and then going back to the presentation and follow-ups. Thank you.
Hey,